Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler. My guest today is Alan Collins, and Alan is the founder of Student Loan Justice, and he's here to talk about the candidacy of Joe Biden. So when all is said and done, Alan, well, first of all, how are you doing?
Oh, doing great. We're here in Iowa, in the middle of Iowa, so everything's pretty hunky-dory.
Has there been a lot of cases in Iowa of the coronavirus?
No, not many at all. In the county that I live in, I think you can count the number of infections on probably either one hand or two hands. So,
really?
Not nearly what you guys are facing out there in New York right now.
Well, upstate near Albany, it's a danger, it's scary, but the big thing is in New York City, they're just being devastated. Central Park was turned into a hospital setting, and it's not good. It's almost like living through a horror science fiction movie, but it's real.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's real. So,
yeah, it's really interesting how long this is going to go for. I think it may be going a little bit longer than we were initially, that I was initially hoping for. So we'll just have to see. It's be interesting to see how this plays out in the presidential race.
So when this first started making the news, and everybody was saying, you got to isolate yourself. At that point, how long did you think that the coronavirus, your initial reaction was, how long did you think this would go on for?
I think like everybody, it just kind of sounded like another, like the bird flu scare, which also was a coronavirus, I believe, of like 2006 or so. So I didn't think that it would really impact our country much more than, the bird flu or the swine flu or the SARS epidemic and so forth. But I guess I was wrong.
There's a lot of people who were wrong. So it seems like Joe Biden is going to be the nominee for the presidential race on Democratic ticket. How do you feel about that?
Well, that's interesting. We're in kind of a very strange, unique place here in the country at the moment. And, Bernie Sanders is still going to be on the ballot. And I don't know when the next primary will be. I don't know. I don't think anybody does. But we still have a lot of states to count. I mean, Bernie, mathematically, he certainly could still win the nomination. And, with the recent scandal about the Tara Reid incident with Biden, you never know. I think more broadly, people are starting to really rethink themselves here in isolation, in quarantine, and here in Iowa, believe it or not, we're quarantining and isolating just like everybody else. But I really think people are maybe rethinking themselves a little bit, and particularly in view of all of the corporate Wall Street bailouts that we're seeing, much like we did last time, I think people, I give Bernie a very, very slim outside chance of maybe being able to pull out a rabbit from the hat here. But, given that Biden will be the nomination, he was our last choice in terms of student loan justice. He's got a terrible history on the student loan problem. And, I followed Joe around Iowa here for 6 months or more even. And, I've spoken to him. I've talked with his granddaughter and his campaign manager, and I'm very troubled. Biden, I'll give you the whole 30-minute spiel, but he was not a good guy on student loans during his career in the Senate. And he was the weakest of all candidates in the field on student loans going into the primaries. So, you know, I'm glad to see that now Joe Biden claims that he is adopting Elizabeth Warren's bankruptcy plan. But, you know, Elizabeth Warren vowed that as president on day one, she would issue an executive order calling on the Department of Education and its contractors to stand down, to stop opposing bankruptcy filers on student loans in court. That's very important. So if Joe Biden is serious about adopting Elizabeth Warren's bankruptcy plan, he has to make that very same pledge. And unless and until he does, we will not be supporting him. We will happily endorse the Green Party if we have to. Howie Hawkins or whoever the candidate for Green Party ends up being. I think it's going to be Howie. I know the Green Party has actually invited Bernie to run on their ticket, and, you know, they did that before, and he declined, and I wouldn't expect that he would do that. But you never know. Like I said, it's a very strange world right now.
This is true. Nobody could have predicted even 2 months ago what the country would be going through right now. So when you had talks with Biden, was he listening to you? Was he attentive? What was his demeanor as he was speaking to you when you were talking to him about the student loan problem?
Well, as soon as I mentioned the word bankruptcy, he cut me off. I was like, well, you know, Vice President Biden, it's clear to me that in the absence of bank, and I gave him a preamble about, you know, student loans are a big problem and so on and so forth. And as soon as I mentioned bankruptcy, he cut me right off. He goes, no, but you don't need bankruptcy because my plan is going to be so great. I'm going to have this repayment plan where you pay this percent of your income and that. And it's just nonsense. Just basically repeating boilerplate from Hillary Clinton's campaign of 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so that was really off-putting. And I complained bitterly to his campaign after that. And, you know, to his credit, I've been speaking with the campaign manager, Craig Schultz, on and off. And they know that we strongly urge them to make that campaign promise that Elizabeth Warren made on bankruptcy. And so that's good. And, you know, to his credit, we do now see it on his website, in his platform, at least to return bankruptcy to student loans by legislation, like through Congress. But, you know, that's just not strong enough with Joe Biden. It's just not strong enough. We've got to have the same pledge that Elizabeth Warren made from Joe. We've just got to. Because I know Joe Biden well at this point, Cynthia. I've followed him around I've spent hours and hours and hours eyeball to eyeball with Joe Biden, seeing what he says, what he doesn't say, how he dodges questions, the questions he doesn't dodge. And I can tell you that nothing that comes out of Joe Biden's mouth is clear. So everything that Joe Biden says can be construed at least two different ways. And, you know, people say that he's getting senile. I don't buy that for a minute. I can tell you, Joe Biden is a very smart, very clever, sharp guy. That's not a bug, the way he sort of switches his syntax mid-sentence. That's a feature. That is a skill he has honed over the years. I can tell. It's a very convenient way to say multiple things at one time, which, you know, so you can't get pinned down on the question. And so, yeah, we're going to need something a lot stronger from Joe than even from the other candidates if he wants our support.
Up until South Carolina, he was losing big time. Then he won South Carolina, and, you know, it was like the heavens opened up for him. And then all of the other candidates were tripping over each other to support him. What do you think that is?
Well, I think that was the mainstream political establishment pulling out all the stops. I think that Bernie Sanders was a very serious and very real threat to the existing power base within the Democratic Party, at least in Washington, D.C. And it was, frankly, disgusting to see people like I guess Amy Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg kind of expected that they would throw their support his way. But some of the other candidates, I was very sad to see it. And, you know, the fact that Elizabeth Warren never came out and endorsed Bernie Sanders, that was very disappointing. And I have to say, I lost a lot of respect for Elizabeth Warren during this process. And she was our number one candidate, by the way. She was our number one choice. And to see her play politics over that issue, just to position herself for maybe a vice presidential pick or something like that, was pretty disappointing. And if the Bernie people were disappointed in 2016, I would say they're basically infuriated this time. So if 20% of the Bernie people either didn't vote or voted for Trump last time, I'd say you can pretty well double that this time, if not more. You know, people are sick and tired of the establishment nonsense. That's not going to move our country forward. That's going to – I mean, there are a lot of chickens that are coming home to roost now. And I think a lot of – I certainly believe, and I think a lot of Bernie supporters believe, that if we don't have radical change now, you know, this could be it. And like I said, we will very happily support Howie Hawkins or even the Libertarian Party, any third party, if we don't get at a minimum a solid pledge from Joe Biden. So it'll be interesting to see.
One of my friends in the Albany area was the go-to person for Bernie Sanders this year, as he was 4 years ago. And he is beside himself right now. I called him up and I said, why don't you do a show with me about sharing your feelings about Bernie Sanders? And he's really upset. So, you know, I'm sure you can multiply that with people all over the United States. So at this point, do you think that Bernie Sanders has lost all his credibility?
No, I don't think so. I think Bernie has been doing what Bernie has done forever. You know, he maybe not energetically, but he supported Hillary Clinton last time when he got screwed out of that race. And so, you know, I think Bernie Sanders comes out of this smelling like a rose, quite frankly, as far as his integrity and his ethics and so forth. Who really comes out looking bad are the Democrats. And you know, it's funny that at the 11th hour, as you noted, in North Carolina, obviously the whip was cracked and all of the mainstream Democrats fell into line behind Joe Biden.
Right.
You know, the argument they made was that Bernie can't win. Biden's the only guy who can win. And ironically, because Biden won the nomination and because, like I said, probably 20, if not 40% of Bernie supporters just absolutely, they'll either not vote or they may even as a protest vote for Trump. I would say Biden winning the nomination guarantees that he can't beat Trump. And so it's just, it's maddening. It's infuriating. We'll just have to see. I think there's going to be a lot of big things happening in the zeitgeist between now and November, including the very small possibility that Bernie may actually pull the nomination out of his hat. And so you never know. This is definitely an interesting political season. I'll say that. Definitely interesting.
But, you know, I think no matter what happens, it's only going to be second to the ongoing saga of the coronavirus. That's number one in the news every day, and everything seems to have taken a secondary role. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and you know, I don't think any of the political science out there, well, maybe a few do, but nobody knows for sure how this is going to play out in the elections. You know, if all the states go to a mail-in ballot, will more people vote? Will less people vote? You know, there's just so many questions out there like that, trying to sort of handicap how this crisis is going to affect voting, affect turnout. It really could go either way, and it's just not clear to me which, you know, what we can say for sure. I wish I had some better. I will tell you this, Cynthia. In my view, the student loan issue may very well decide the next president. The presidential candidate who meaningfully addresses this issue will win the lion's share of the 55 million voters out there who have student loans. Because, you know, 80% of all student loan borrowers are freaking out about their student loans. There may be a payment suspension right now, but even before this coronavirus crisis, 80% of the 55 million people who have student loans or are co-signed on them were not doing well. They were never going to be able to repay their loans. They were either in default, forbearance, deferment, or they were delinquent. Or they were paying, and their balance was going up. So that's like 44 million voters for whom the student loan issue is at tippy top of the list. And I think they could probably overlook a lot in a candidate that they didn't like if that candidate presented something meaningful to them on the student loan issue. And at this point, I think student loan cancellation is truly on the table. You know, for 15 years, we fought very moderately only for the return of bankruptcy rights to student loans.
Right.
And we are now calling very loudly and proudly for President Trump to issue an executive order canceling all federal student loans. And yeah, returning bankruptcy to the maybe 10% of loans that remain after those 90% of all student loans, the federal loans, are canceled. You know, we started a petition on change.org, and I urge everybody listening to this, go to studentloanjustice.org, scroll down, look for the petition link, sign our petition calling for what I just said. And the last time I checked, we had like 233,000 signatures. So that's pretty good. And we may very well have a million. We could and should have 5 or even 10 million signatures on this thing by the time the elections roll around in November. Candidates ignore the student loan problem at their great peril. Particularly now, as we're headed into a very nasty-looking recession, where you know younger people, by and large, service industry workers, who have many of whom who have student loans, are now out of a job, and who knows when those jobs might come back. So
right.
The student loan issue could be the real bell of the ball here in this election.
Okay, let me. I think the coronavirus is going to be the number one issue and how the candidates.
Oh, I agree with
you.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that is the number one thing that everybody will remember from this election is the coronavirus. There's no doubt about it. But
so,
in terms of like existing political issues, you know, healthcare and so on and so forth,
right.
I think student loans could be one or two. I think it could easily be the deciding factor in the race. No doubt about that.
Okay. So let's talk about the two major candidates. You know, it's a given that Joe Biden has not really been helpful is an understatement to the people who have student loans. But at the same time, Betsy DeVos has not been a proponent in helping people with student loans. She has really stocked it to them. So either way you look at it, people are doomed. Wouldn't you say?
Well, you're right. Donald Trump and Betsy DeVos have been an absolute nightmare up to this point on the student loan issue. Donald Trump has done nothing. Betsy DeVos, and I really don't think Donald Trump has even thought about student loans that much, probably not more than about 20 minutes of his entire presidency is my guess. But Betsy DeVos mm-hmm. has given the key to the castle to the student loan swamp. They are writing the rules right now. And, you know, I could go on for a long time about how horrible Betsy DeVos has been. But, you know, I really hope that this race doesn't come down to, you know, the lesser of two evils. And if it does, then I don't know. If the student loan issue is not addressed in a strong way by either of the candidates, then that's going to be pretty bad. But, you know, right now, Donald Trump and Betsy DeVos are so bad on the issue, they are going to push away a lot of voters, maybe even from their base, because, you know, Joe Biden, to his credit, he has made some pretty strong moves towards the borrowers in adopting and supposedly, and I'm not saying that I believe anything he says, but at least on paper and the way the general mm-hmm. public will, what they will see and what they will believe, at least on paper, Joe Biden looks quite a lot better than Donald Trump on this issue. So really, you know, and I hope that Joe Biden goes further because he certainly hasn't won my vote. And if he hasn't won my vote, he hasn't won a lot of people's votes. So I hope he does come further. If he does come further, then I think this election is going to be a lock. I think Donald Trump will lose in a landslide. Because if you give those, like I say, 44 million distressed student loan borrowers, Cynthia, that is nearly mm-hmm. enough to elect a president outright. And right. up to this point, they've had no one to vote for. If Joe Biden moves just a little bit further in our direction and gives student loan borrowers something tangible to vote for, then I don't see any way that Donald Trump can win. I think that would turn a Trump win into a Biden landslide. And so, you know, it'll be very interesting to see how this issue percolates. And, you know, there's always the off chance that Donald Trump could at the 11th hour. And I give Donald Trump a lot of credit for being malleable. And, you know, he can switch horses in the final 100 yards of the race. Donald Trump may very well actually issue that executive order canceling all federal student loans. Now, if he was to do that before the election, then I would probably have to call the race pretty strongly for Donald Trump. You know, people that are really hurting on their student loans, they can overlook a lot in a candidate that they don't like if it means that their student loans are going to go away. I mean, it's a very powerful economic issue for them. And so, yeah, Donald Trump has it within his means to completely turn this election around, despite how terrible he has been, how terrible Betsy DeVos has been. If he actually produces before the election and actually does the executive order that we're calling on him to do. So it'll be interesting.
You just said something very important a few minutes ago. You were saying that you don't think that Joe Biden is as inept perceived he might be. Okay, so if that's the case, if what he's doing is a well-honed maneuver on his part, an act on his part, then why is the Democrats keeping him so invisible? And why are they increasing the visibility of Andrew Cuomo?
Well, I don't believe that Andrew Cuomo is going to even make an attempt to be the candidate. Now, as I said, this is a crazy time. Crazier things have happened. But I think that Joe Biden's calculation, and Joe Biden is out there doing interviews, by the way. He just did a pretty strong one with Politico yesterday. But I think from Joe Biden's perspective, he's got the nomination locked up, and probably the less he says, the better. And so, you know, there's so much deep-seated resentment over among the Democratic base that, you know, he thinks he's in control, and anything that he does that's sort of out there and radical is potentially a risk for his campaign, you know. So I think from Biden's perspective, the less he says, the better. And, you know, and maybe you know better than I do, Cynthia, you're up there in Albany. I don't know a lot about sort of how New York politics works, but I do know a little bit about how Wall Street media works. And if they were fashioning, if they are fashioning Governor Cuomo for a presidential run, oh boy, that would just be one more wrinkle in this campaign. And I can't say that it would be totally surprising, but it would be certainly unexpected. And that's just, you know, it's a crazy time. Like I said, anything might happen. Bernie could win the nomination. Who knows? 11th hour Andrew Cuomo. But, you know, I don't think Biden's going to go down fighting. Or I don't think, sorry, opposite of what I just said. I don't think Biden is going to walk away from the nomination readily. You know, he's a tough guy. And I see the chance of Cuomo actually taking the nomination from Biden as incredibly unlikely. You know, I don't think that the Democratic delegates are really that radical of people. If they were, they would have, you know, thrown their superdelegate support behind Bernie last time. So I don't think that I just don't see the DNC delegates, if it comes to that, actually making a jump away from, you know, the voters and selecting a, you know, an Andrew Cuomo.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you would know better than I would. I'd be interested to hear your perspective on that.
Well, you know, I see him on the news all the time. He does his daily briefings, and he's on so many shows. He's on his brother's show a lot. So I'm just wondering about the invisibility of Biden and the visibility of Cuomo. I think it's pretty intriguing.
Yeah, you know, who knows? Biden has already said that he's going to pick a female vice president nominee, so I guess that's out, the potential for Cuomo to run as a VP. It's interesting. I will say this about Governor Cuomo, by the way. We went on 60 Minutes many years ago with Elizabeth Warren, mm-hmm. believe it or not, on the student loan issue, and we were featured top story. A very strong piece that resulted in multiple congressional New York State Attorney General investigations. And it was really the largest scandal in the history of higher education in this country. Well, Attorney General Elliot Spitzer started the first investigation after that 60 Minutes piece ran. And so I have to give Elliot Spitzer most of the credit, quite frankly. But, you know, Andrew Cuomo finished that investigation, and he was the one that took it to the Hill and testified before Congress about it. And so I've got a lot of respect for Andrew Cuomo, and you know, he was one of the very first public figures in politics to say clearly on the record that it's time to revisit the bankruptcy laws regarding student loans. And so I thought that was pretty strong. So personally, I would love to see Cuomo in there. That'd be fine with me. In fact, I think I'd rather see Cuomo in there than Joe Biden, I would say, by far.
Wow. So, Alan, our time is up, so give yourself a little plug.
Oh, yeah. I would urge everybody listening to this, if you have student loans, this is a very critical time for us, and I would urge you very strongly to go to our website, studentloanjustice.org, look for our petition, sign that thing, share it, maybe even pay money to change.org to give it a boost, and do everything that you can to spread the word about that petition. We're at nearly 250,000 signatures now. You know, if we can get up to 1 million signatures, then we'll start getting some really good national press. And if we get there, then I think it's a fait accompli that we'll get 5 or even 10 million signatures, particularly as the economy gets worse and worse. Yeah, we need you and you need us. So let's do this.
Okay, Alan. So, you know, I'm sure that we'll talk again as this whole political season evolves. So you have been listening to Alan Collins, founder of studentloanjustice.org. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is All Exits Closed. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Alan, stay safe, stay healthy, and same to all of you. Stay safe and stay healthy. Thank you for listening. Have a good day.